Welcome to Latte with a Lawyer, a podcast dedicated to bringing you the stories of some of America's most successful lawyers, figuring out what makes them tick, how they creatively solve problems, and how others aspiring to be them can follow in their footsteps.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Latte with a Lawyer. I'm your host, Jonathan Brickman. And this afternoon, we have with us from Gerhart Law, Richard Gerhart. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Jonathan. Great to be here.
Excellent. Excellent. Good deal. So Friday afternoon, you're probably winding it down, but Latte with a Lawyer, what's your morning beverage of choice to get cranked up?
Not a latte, but coffee. Right now it's about 1:42 in New Jersey in the afternoon, and I've had like about my sixth cup of coffee. So,
oh boy.
And then I'll be switching to adult beverages later this evening. So anyway, I'd like to keep myself in the proper frame of mind for just about, you know, any situation.
So. Yeah, I understand. Well, you got to go from the caffeine, you got to hydrate, and then you go to the adult beverages.
Yeah, lots of times I forget the hydration step. So that's a good reminder.
Yeah, no, I understand. I was telling someone this morning, I just watched a study saying that, first of all, adult men should have like 13 cups of water during the day. And there's a strong correlation between water consumption, hydration, and long-term health.
Oh, well, that is good to know. I mean, I guess coffee doesn't really count as hydration, even though it's made with water. You have to have the pure water. Is that it?
You got to have the pure water.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, I mean, do you do that? I mean, are you on top?
No, I don't.
Are you on top of your water requirement? That sounds like, for me, that sounds like a lot. But oh wow, you got a cup there. That's
it's empty.
Yeah, it's well. So you're doing your job. I have a water bottle around here someplace, and usually in the afternoon, I'll start drinking some water too. So
all right. Well, let's turn to more. Topical discussion here about your law practice. Tell everybody what kind of law you practice.
So Gerhart Law is an intellectual property law firm. It was established in 2006. I've been an IP lawyer for at least 32, 33 years. So I've been doing it a long time, and I still like it. I mean, I really can't imagine doing anything else.
Good.
Which is great. So, I mean, I got started in intellectual property. I lived for a while in Switzerland. After I graduated from law school, I went and I ended up in Switzerland. I wanted to live overseas. I got a degree from the University of Geneva in international law. And while I was there, I worked at Jones Day, which had an office in Switzerland.
Okay.
And I really learned a lot, and I had a great time. But when I came back to the United States, I wanted to do something that took advantage of my technical degree. So I have a degree in chemistry. And based on that, I was able to take the patent bar, which requires a technical degree.
Yep.
And I went to work for a small boutique firm in Chicago, where I started learning about intellectual property. And it was like just one of those things that after a couple of weeks, I just kind of fell in love with it. It was one of those things that I just knew was a good fit for me personally. I liked the new technical projects. I liked the way, and for me, it was just like solving a big puzzle to file a patent or try to get one granted at the patent office. And it just fit my skill set and my personality and everything else. So so I've been at it ever since. So
got it. Excellent. Yeah. So chemistry, I mean, I know there's some funny nuances here with, you know, what qualifies you to be a patent attorney. But I mean, isn't it typically engineering degree?
They have a list, and honestly, I haven't kept up with it. It's probably changed a lot. I mean, usually any basic science program, your basic science degree is enough to qualify you to take the patent bar. You know, any hard science, so chemistry, math, physics, it'll put you in the category where you're eligible to take it. And frankly, if you don't have one of those kinds of degrees, you probably don't want to, you want to have anything to do with patents or technology, right? So so it works out pretty well. So
got it. Interesting. And that's the only kind of law you've practiced since you started practicing.
Well, I mean, one of the things I liked about intellectual property law was that there are so many different directions you can go with it. And and that's probably true with other types of law too. But if, you know, I've worked for corporations, I've worked in private practice, we do litigation. So I'm a litigator.
Okay.
I draft applications and I prosecute them. We do license agreements. So I do agreement work. So you can work for the government, you can work for a university, you can work for a corporation. And so there's a lot of different ways you can practice intellectual property. And that was one of the things that appealed to me. I mean, there's even ethical and social issues that, tie into intellectual property. So, So for me, I just saw there's all these possibilities. And over the last 3 years, I've just kind of jumped around and did different types, practiced it in different ways, but really always relying on the core sort of intellectual property knowledge and skills.
Got it.
And it's always, I'm always learning something new. And in terms of the actual practice, it's a place where the laws evolve. So you have to learn about, those, and you can go so far into the weeds with intellectual property. It's just unbelievable. You know, there's so many government regulations and so much case law that, I learn something new every day, almost every day.
Almost every day.
So even at this stage.
Even at this stage. Well, you still look pretty youthful to me. So your brain's probably.
Oh, I appreciate that. You're only as old as you feel, right?
So that's true. How do you feel today?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Good. So how about you?
I feel great. Yep. Feeling good. I'm in South Florida and sunny and 75 and dry. And I just went outside for a walk. It's really nice out. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah. New Jersey is unseasonably warm. So we're in the 40s and it's great. No snow. A little rain, but at least it's not snow. So
yeah, exactly. So tell me the core of your practice. I know it's IP, but is there any particular focus that you have? It looks like you work with startups and early stage companies.
I would say that, we work across all technology areas. So we do, my sort of experience, my industry experience is in pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
Right. So we have clients that are life science clients. So medical devices, pharmaceutical products are a big portion of our practice. And being in New Jersey is sort of a good place to be.
Sure.
If you're going to be active in that area. I mean, we do consumer products, different widgets and stuff. We've had five or six clients now appear on Shark Tank, which is kind of a buzz. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And then we also do software and some electrical. So software is another big area for us. Lots of new apps, lots of new programs, and people come to us to protect those ideas. So, but for the most part, it's startups. So, pre-revenue companies, a lot of pre-revenue companies. We have a couple of larger established companies and that we represent. But biggest part of our practice and my favorite part is working with the startups. They're so excited. They're really passionate about getting out there. We have a fantastic network of support for startup companies. We know investors. We know prototypers, we know marketers. And so part of what we do, in addition to protecting their legal assets, is to help them get a start, you know, sometimes help them find money, sometimes help them, you know, find a manufacturer. I mean, it's kind of like we've been in the startup area for so long. We have a lot of contacts, and so we make a lot of referrals. And
oh, interesting.
So, yeah. So it's, I mean, for me, it's a fun place to be. I don't know if like I could be a divorce lawyer, you know. I mean, I'm sure there's people out there who love it, but for me, you know, like most of the time, most of our clients are happy unless they're in litigation. If they're in litigation, then they're, why am I in litigation?
But how often does that happen? How often does litigation happen? And give me an example of like a litigation case that you've worked on.
Well, right now we've got a big one against Duracell. So our client, who's a vaping client, filed for a trademark a long time ago called Optimum. And he filed it in the class for batteries because his devices use these Optimum power sources, right? Mm-hmm. And it turned out that Duracell launched a product not too long ago called Optimum for Optimum batteries. So it's, that was for, you know, for slightly different kind of batteries. So,
sure.
And so they came to us after getting rejected by the trademark office, and things didn't work out. We couldn't come to reach a deal. And so they launched their product and now we're in court. So, so that's, you know, that's one where it's sort of David versus Goliath, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's been a really interesting case to, you know, work on. The advocacy, I think, on both sides has been really interesting and you know, very educational. So when we talk about learning something every day, I have learned something every day working on this case for sure.
Yeah. So, so in that case, are you running the litigation on that one?
I am, right.
Okay. So you're the plaintiff, right? In this case?
And I'm the plaintiff, right.
So you're seeking damages from them?
We are. Yeah. Okay. So we're damages or royalty or some sort of compensation. If it's a Lanham Act case or a trademark case, Lanham Act, then you can also go for disgorgement of profits. And okay. So that's a remedy that we're also seeking. So
I see. Okay.
So, and maybe an injunction. I mean, if they don't want to give us any money, maybe we would go for that, but those are hard to get these days.
And are those, I mean, those bench trials, how do you deliberate on those?
So these, we're definitely going to try this in front of a jury if it gets that far. And, you know, we're in the Third Circuit, we're in Newark, and it's a very simple case, even though the lawyers have made it incredibly complicated.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the same identical name for, you know, very similar goods in the same class that the trademarks are registered in. And we've just finished up expert discovery. So now we're going to get to, I'm sure, dispositive motions. And then if, I don't think it's, I'm not sure that it's going to settle, but if we get through that, then we're at trial. So,
yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So how do you like the jury trials?
I'm not really a trial lawyer. So, you know, at some point we may get somebody else involved who's got more experience.
I see.
I'm not that courageous, right? So, so I think if it gets to trial, then we'll try to work something out with some sort of partnership or something like that.
Oh, I see. Okay. Interesting. Very good. Yeah. I was curious about that. Is there any like really interesting case that you've worked on, like a, you know, an early stage company that's turned into like a huge success that you've helped with?
Yeah. I mean, there's a company that, before starting my own practice, I was the head of intellectual property for Novartis Pharmaceuticals in the United States. And while I was there, I worked with their venture fund. And one of the guys that was working on the fund left Novartis. He had had like a pretty big exit. And so they kind of told him, well, look, you can do whatever you want to do and we'll help you out. So they helped him fund a company called Forma Therapeutics. And I was leaving Novartis at the same time and starting my own practice. And so we linked up. And Forma Therapeutics about 2 years ago went public, and then it was just purchased by Novo Nordisk. And so they make, cancer treatments. And so we wrote patents for them, and, drafted patents for drugs that were in the pipeline for, I think the particular ones that we protected didn't make it all the way through clinical trials, unfortunately, but we played a big role in that company for the first 10 years that it was in existence. And so, that was something that I was, proud of. And so we've had many startups that have become successful, and it happens more often than people think. They read the government statistics about how companies, like only one in five makes it 5 years and all this other stuff. And it's a little misleading because I would say at least 50% of our clients have some level of commercial activity where they're actually getting products out there. They don't all go public.
Yeah,
but they do. A lot of them have, have a lot of lifestyle companies. People just selling shoelaces out of their basement or something. But there's more success out there than sometimes people think.
Yeah, that's good.
And so,
that's good to hear. I like to hear that. I'm curious. Do you ever get to participate in any of these startups? Or is that not allowed?
I mean, generally, I try to stay out of that. I think it's a possibility, but I just in general I don't take the time to do that. There are intellectual property lawyers that do, and I think that that's great. And I certainly have thought about it. But I've decided, I think our best way forward is just to focus on providing the legal services.
Yeah. Okay, good. I was just always curious about that. I mean, whenever you get involved with startups is, short on cash and long on upside, right? So.
Right. And so it's a gamble and, you have to know the people well. And so lots of times people come to you and want to start a company and you just haven't had the time to get to know them.
Yeah.
To the point where you would want to form a business relationship with them outside of the legal relationship.
Right.
And so that's a big part of it as well. And because startups, when investors invest in startups, it's all about the people that are running the company. And so it takes a lot of time to vet people and understand their organization and what their skills are. Sometimes you can just kind of tell, but my other piece of that too is I tell them, really you shouldn't be giving equity to your service providers. It's not necessarily in the company's best interest because you can always pay a lawyer a few thousand dollars.
Sure.
Right. But you want people who are going to be like maybe more strategic. If you're going to be putting out equity, you want people who are going to be a little bit more strategic in their relationship, to your company and to you. So, so I kind of just tell people, you're better off paying me and then, finding a strategic partner that can do more for you.
Got it. Got it. Hey, listen, talk a little bit about, I'm curious about your radio show that you do, your weekly radio show. What's the focus of that?
Well, it's not surprisingly, it's about entrepreneurs. It's called Passage to Profit, and we're syndicated now in 30 stations. And we're in Chicago, Portland, Washington, D.C. Our flagship station is WOR, which is the oldest talk radio station in the country. It's in New York. And so we've been doing the show for about 4 years, and anybody who's a client can gets on for, you know, it is like an automatic come on and join us. So, but my wife and I co-host it, and we've had, we've had some really fun guests on, and we talk about entrepreneurism, and you get to hear, you know, we usually have three guests on the program. And so you get to hear different stories, people's stories, and hear about entrepreneurism from different perspectives. And so the show is really geared toward people who are, number one, interested in new products, because we get a lot of, all of our guests are doing something like new. So recently we had somebody on who was they have a software platform that trains entrepreneurs, and they've gamified it using fantasy figures, right? And so now one of the bigger trends is gamified learning, right? Where people are using like fantasy people, and they're trying to make learning fun. And so they have a number of programs, but one of them is about entrepreneurs. You can do an entrepreneurial simulation to see if you like it or if you're good at it. It's meant to be a training tool, but also kind of does an assessment. And it's really cool.
What's the name of that one?
I'll have to, I'll get yeah, it to you after the show. I can't remember.
That sounds interesting. So the guests are across all kinds of verticals and industries, not just life sciences. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Of course, life sciences would be so boring. the leg bones connected to the knee bone. You know, I mean, it would be pretty. I think it would not appeal to a large audience.
Yeah. So, how big of a viewing do you have?
Well, the radio show, they tell us, reaches about 120,000 people a week. So it's a pretty good reach. Excellent. Yeah. And then we have another 30,000 on social. We get about maybe 12,000 podcasts. We get about 1,000 to 1,500 podcast downloads per month. That's what it is.
Is it a business development platform for you? Is that why you do it?
Well, it's really kind of a hobby. Okay. You know, I like to be on, and I like to have, you know, discussions with, you know, with our guests. I learn a lot, and we have a lot of fun. I tell a lot of jokes, but most of them get edited out by our producer, but I still get to tell them, and people have to at least pretend to laugh. Right.
All right. Give us one joke.
Okay. That's the best I can do right now.
Oh, man.
But it's a really interesting experience, and you meet people. And so it's a good networking tool. After you've been on the radio with somebody, we can call them up and talk about, you know, are there any business synergies? And sometimes it leads to that. Sometimes the guests are clients. We don't get a lot of people calling and saying, oh, I heard you on the show. Will you patent this for me or trademark this for me? So it's that it doesn't really generate. It's very top of the funnel.
I see. Okay.
But and also, I think it help enhances our firm's, you know, reputation in New Jersey. were pretty well known for the show. And so it just makes us different from other law firms, right? And a lot of clients like to go on. And so, you know, it helps us attract clients too. So especially startups.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to listen to it.
Oh, you should. You should at least. It's you can. Where are you located, Jonathan?
I'm in South Florida.
South Florida. I don't think you could hear it on the radio there, but you could certainly go to the website, passagetoprofitshow.com.
Yep.
And you could see. I mean, we have many podcasts. We've done 160 some episodes. So we've been on for about 4 years, and we do a new show almost every week. So it's a lot of content.
yeah. No, I understand. I'm gonna definitely check it out.
Yeah. Well, that would be.
That sounds good. So just to go back a little bit, I mean, why did you decide to become a lawyer from being a chemistry major to law school?
Well, I was kind of, you know, I was young and I was kind of at this crossroads, like, well, what do I do with myself? And I didn't really have any good answers. And I knew nothing about law. I knew nothing about attorneys. I wasn't a poor kid growing up, but I was modest means. And yeah. My parents never hired an attorney for anything. So I never even knew one. But I had a friend who was an attorney, and he said, well, you'd be a good lawyer. And I was like, well, okay. That was like the basis of the decision. And I thought, well, even if I don't end up practicing law, I would get good training in law school. That appealed, you know, kind of I saw law school back in those days as a place where you sort of got amped up. Right. And you, right. You know, you learn to be faster, smart, you know, like the $6 million man, faster, smarter, you know, whatever. I thought it would just be good training.
Yeah.
And it turned out, you know, I liked the law and I liked the whole law spiel and everything. And I decided to stay with it, you know, so.
And here you go. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I'm always curious about that. So many times it's kind of like that. It's a little bit random and you just sort of, you know, someone says, makes a suggestion, you go, other folks I've talked to, like they knew when they were seven, they wanted to become a lawyer, right?
I was heavily influenced by Perry Mason. For people who are too young to not recognize, that was a TV show with Raymond Burr.
And heard that.
He was a trial lawyer, and you know, he always won. He always got the witness to break down on the stand. And I just sort of, you just sort of loved the drama of it. And so that was kind of the image I had in my head. And of course, it's real life is nothing like that. Yeah. But that was certainly an influence for sure.
Well, there you go. I think I've heard that many times. So I think Perry Mason has influenced many aspiring attorneys. So something came out of that show.
Yeah, for good or I wonder if like the people who made it realized that they were creating this crop of attorneys, you know, when they filmed it. I don't know.
You know, maybe. I don't know. But you're not the first person that's mentioned it as a influence. So there's definitely something to it.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, listen, just to wrap it up here, what do you want to leave with the folks about your firm and the best way to connect with you?
Well, we're a small firm. It's only 25 people. And we have about 8 attorneys that are we collaborate with. So if you have an idea or you have a client that needs to protect something, you know, I think we do what we do very well. And you can contact me at Gearhart Law. It's www.gearhartlaw.com, and that's spelled G-E-A-R-H-A-R-T. LAW.com, and there's contact forms, phone numbers, and all that. So if you know, and we'd love to hear from you or from your clients, or I don't know, most people are too busy just to pick up the phone and call. But if you have an interest in intellectual property or want to know more about passage to profit, I'm always happy to talk to whomever about that. So feel free to reach out. You're always welcome. So
excellent. Good. Thank you for that. All right. Well, listen, everybody, Richard Gerhard, Gerhard Law. And this is sponsored by Emotion Track, which is a legal tech platform. And we do help litigators prepare for cases and mediation with our platform. So thank you, sir. And
all right, man.
Enjoy the weekend. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me on, Jonathan.
You bet.